So I'm Suzanne. I mentioned in the back here we have Matt, Laura, Bryce, and Noelle, all staff associated with this program and here to help answer questions and be a resource for you all. I have business cards in the back. I think, Laura, you have some back there, too. Laura and I are kind of main points of contact, but these folks are all here to help and bring their own expertise. So with that, I'm going to jump in. Anyone else have a ton of problems sleeping in the last two nights? I am completely fueled by coffee, so I'm trying to slow down, but I hope I won't talk too fast. So Metro is, if you're not familiar, Metro is a regional government serving more than 1.5 million people, and we deal with regional issues covering 3 counties and parts or all of 23 cities that make up the greater Portland area. Metro deals with planning and overseeing regional systems, so things like transportation planning, regional parks and natural area system, the zoo, the convention center, and a big function of Metro's work is solid waste planning, so garbage and recycling for the whole region. So out of that was born the Investment Innovation Grant Program. It's a new program. We're in our second year, and the overall purposes of the program are here on the slide. The goal is to strengthen local efforts to reduce the amount and toxicity of waste sent to the landfills, to effectively manage and make better use of waste that is produced, and to ensure that the benefits of regional garbage and recycling system are shared by everyone in the region, and advance racial equity in particular. So two foundational documents that kind of set the context for this program. One is the 2030 Regional Waste Plan that was just adopted by the Metro Council. This is the blueprint for the garbage and recycling system for the next 12 years, and really focuses on impacts throughout a product's life cycle, from the way things are manufactured, produced, used, and then discarded as waste, and reducing impacts all the way through a life cycle of materials. And it identifies grants, Metro grants, as a tool to help advance some of those goals. The second document that you might want to look at to kind of set the stage for this program is the Strategic Plan to Advance Racial Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion. This document acknowledges that many of the region's residents, particularly communities of color, have not benefited from our regional systems and have suffered disproportionate negative impacts, and it emphasizes engaging with community and helping to advance equity in the way that benefits are achieved through these regional systems, including garbage and recycling and all of the waste-related systems. And it emphasizes also allocating Metro's resources in a way that advances equity. So you'll see that woven throughout the Investment and Innovation Grant Program. We're going to talk about that a little more specifically as we go. So getting more specific about the objectives of the Investment and Innovation Grant Program, these are the core objectives: to reduce the amount and toxicity of waste, to strengthen prevention, reuse, recycling, composting, and energy recovery services, programs, and infrastructure, to encourage innovation and advance new technology, and to encourage new participants in the system who are from communities of color or other historically marginalized groups. These objectives are the same for both capital and program grants. So with the second bullet point, strengthening the system, we think of that as sort of the investment side, and then the third bullet is the innovation side. Both are important to this program. So as I mentioned, we have two grant types with this program. The program grants, which we're here to talk about today, $25,000 to $75,000, and that's for personnel, operations, equipment, materials and services, things associated with new or expanded programs. And also it can apply to just standalone projects as well. So if you have a project with a start and end date that's not a continuing program, that is eligible for funding under this program, although we would want to see continued impacts even if the project formally ends. Match requirement of 20%, so that means if you get a grant of $50,000, oh, I'm not going to try to do math right now. 20% of that amount is required as match, and that can be cash or in kind. And The second grant type I just mentioned here that floated up, because we're not going to focus on it a whole lot today, is the capital grants. Those are larger, $50,000 to $750,000, for machinery and facility infrastructure, with a special focus this round on recycling infrastructure and food waste. And that has a match requirement of 100%, which is mostly in the form of cash. So if we have time at the end, we can talk a little more specifically about capital grants, but for now, we're going to really focus on program. So who can apply? These grants are open to 501c organizations, nonprofits, and they're open to for-profit businesses. So if you aren't a formal 501c organization, you can consider partnering with a fiscal sponsor that can accept and manage the grant on behalf of the project. And please contact us if you have questions about that. Projects have to take place in the metro region or have a significant direct impact on waste generated in the region. And there's more about that in this handbook, which I should have mentioned right off the bat. This has just about everything we're going to talk about today, and it's in the back, so please use this as a reference. It tells you how to get to the link to find out where the metro boundaries are, so that's a good resource. You can apply for more than one program grant. You can apply for more than one capital grant. You can apply for a capital grant and a program grant. You cannot apply for a joint capital program grant this round. This is a change from last year. So each grant application needs to be a separate application. So if you have any questions about that, if you're not sure if your project idea is really two projects, or you have other questions related to that, I would suggest just calling myself or Laura as soon as possible, and we can talk through that with you. And also after this session, we can discuss. So the use of the grant funds and the match requirement. Funds can support staff time, materials, supplies, equipment, contracted services, and up to 10% can go to overhead for your organization. Grant money is dispersed on a reimbursable basis. I should clarify, the 10% overhead is for the nonprofits, not for private businesses. The grant money is dispersed on a reimbursable basis. And 20% match is required, as I mentioned. That can be cash or in-kind, and in-kind can take the form of donated equipment, donated volunteer time, donated professional services, like if an attorney helps you craft an agreement related to the program or something like that. There's other forms of in-kind, so we can talk about that. It's quite detailed in this handbook, and we're happy to discuss with you if you aren't sure whether your match would qualify. Important point, both grant funds and match expenses have to be tied to the project as described in your proposal, and it has to be incurred during the grant period. The grant period starts when the contract is signed. And I'll talk a little bit about the timing of this proposal process and when contracts would be signed in the next couple slides. Before I do that, just highlight that the strongest proposals in this program are going to demonstrate that you're impacting the waste stream or reducing the environmental or human health impacts of waste or the life cycle upstream in the life cycle of products. And you're also advancing equity and having a direct positive impact on communities of color or other underrepresented groups. This is a pretty high standard, and we're going to break this down a little on the next slides. And we're also available at any point to talk with you about your project idea to help get you to closer to meeting that kind of gold standard that we're hoping for with this program. So what we mean by examples of waste stream impacts, I've highlighted just a couple project types. These are proposals we saw last round and or that we've discussed internally, ideas that have come up. So these are just a few of many examples of projects that could fit within this program, but projects that could work to build capacity for repair and reuse of products so they don't end up being discarded as waste. Projects that expand existing programs for donation and reuse of used materials so they can be reused. So this could be electronics, clothing, food, a development of an online system for monitoring food waste that is tied to a next step of actually reducing the food waste. Let's see. There's other examples in the handbook, and you can also look at our grant website has the list of the 2018 successful grants, so you can see kind of what projects made the cut and were funded last round. When I said in the previous couple slides back, impacts to the waste stream and or impacts to environment and human health, what we mean by that is what we're acknowledging is that some materials are more important than others from an environmental or health perspective, like food and plastics have extremely high greenhouse gas impacts throughout their life cycle. So you may have less of an impact on the amount of the quantity, but you're dealing with a high impact material. So that's something to take into account. So examples of advancing equity and benefiting community, this can take a lot of forms. It's really project specific. I'm not going to read these out, but you can take a look at these. And we have more examples in the handbook. And basically what the committee is going to look for is how your project's going to advance equity for underserved communities in two respects. One is the project impact specifically. It might actually help advance or make more available services where communities have not had access to services, might provide direct job opportunities or training opportunities for disadvantaged communities. There's a number of ways that, number of forms that could take. The committee will also be looking at your organization's practices, like how your efforts to recruit, retrain, retain, and support a diverse staff, board, and the ways that you kind of build equity within the culture of your organization. So those are a couple ways you can score higher in those areas. So the proposal questions and the scoring criteria, there's one proposal. It's not a pre-proposal and a full proposal like on the capital side for the program grants. It's one proposal, and I'll talk about this in the next couple slides. But the things that are that questions in the application are basically to have you describe your project and the intended outcomes and impacts, what your community benefit or how you're going to advance equity both within the project and within your organization or one or the other, a project plan and budget, how you're going to do the work, I think I already mentioned this, the organizational capacity and culture, and how you're going to evaluate your progress and how you're going to determine whether those outcomes that you proposed were actually met. So the proposal process for this this program, which is different from the capital program, if some of you I know were here on Monday, the proposals are evaluated by a team of five Metro staff, and they're rolling grants this round. This is also different from last year. We have the application process is currently open, meaning you could submit today if you wanted. There are no deadlines. However, we have a set amount of funding, and so that will continue until the funding is allocated or we basically have to cut it off. And so basically what we're going to do on our end is review in batches. So the first 15 completed proposals that we received by June 30th we'll review starting July 1. And it's about a three-month turnaround, depending on when you apply in that month of June. So we anticipate the first decisions will be made in August on those first 15. And those are complete proposals. So if you submit something and it's not complete, try to work with you in time, but you might get moved to the next batch to allow you to complete your proposal. So please submit a complete proposal. The second 15 proposals will be reviewed starting in August, and then we kind of go through the three-month cycle until we have used up the funds or there's a natural stop. So basically, the bottom line is the earlier you submit, the better your chances of funding. But this process allows you to submit when you're ready and doesn't kind of force you into a single deadline. So when we receive your proposal, we'll notify you where you're at with the batches and what your anticipated timeline is for review and a final decision. There is one opportunity, if there's something in your proposal where the review team needs clarification or has a question, we may reach out to you, and there's a pretty short window for response because the idea isn't to redo your whole proposal, but it's just to fill in a gap in our understanding. And we'll be posting updates on the program website, which is down here in the bottom, of the funding availability. So every time we make awards of program grants, we'll post them, those decisions, so you can kind of keep an eye on how the funding is doing. And because I know this question is going to come up, I'll just answer it now. The amount of funding for this program, currently we have $3 million for both capital and program. That may end up increasing to $6 million. We're in the process of working through the budget for Metro as an entire agency, and $6 million is in the budget, and we will know in a little over a week. So if that's the case, and we have $6 million for both of the grant types, the anticipation is we'll allocate about $5 million to capital and $1 million to program grants. So it kind of gives you a sense of how much is available. Let's see. So we'll be updating that as soon as that budget process is complete. We'll post that on the website if the program was doubled in size. So the overview of Zoom grants, just a couple slides. There's a handout in the back about how to set up an account in Zoom grants. It's pretty user-friendly. We've had really great feedback. I think most, if not all, of Metro's grant programs use this. And it's pretty user-friendly from an applicant perspective, as far as we've heard. So this is your screen when you log in here. You see the program grants available here. Lots more information also in the handbook, but there's a very specific two-page Zoom grants handout I really recommend taking. And then it looks like this when you get to the proposal questions. It's just, I'm not sure if you can see it very well, but these boxes just say, like that first one says, provide a succinct description of your project and the intended outcomes, essentially. One tip, write out your responses in Word, taking note of the character limits. They're really strict, and they include punctuation, spaces, character breaks. So it's all, and then you can cut and paste into there. It makes it much easier, I think. And also, don't use any special characters. They do weird things in Zoom grants. No, like, arrows or bullets. So final thoughts before we open it up to questions. Make sure your project directly ties to the objectives of this grant program, and the handbook really walks you through that a little more specifically. And then make it easy for reviewers. Just tell them a story about what you're trying to do, why it matters, how you're going to do it. I keep harping on this program grant handbook, but it's really intended to kind of help you through the process. And if you need additional help, one possibility is contract grant writers. If you're, say, a private business and don't do grants often or don't have capacity to write grants, there are resources. This is just one, the Grant Professionals Association of Northwest chapter. And they have contract grant writers. I would engage them early in the process if you're planning on doing that. The Zoom Grants help desk is super helpful. And Zoom Grants also has little tutorial videos and cheat sheets and things. It's pretty easy. There's a help button, and there's lots of assistance if you're having issues with something that doesn't look like it's saving, or issues with Zoom Grants. There's a handout in the back. It's two pages. Says grant writing tips on it, and just basic thoughts about how to write a compelling grant. And we're all here as a resource, particularly myself and Laura, so please, and Noelle is new to this program, but is going to be very involved in the program grants this round, so please do contact any of us if you have any questions. And with that, I'll open it up to questions here. Yeah. Yeah, the capital and program are totally separate, but the $50,000 is a hard limit, and it has to do with our capacity to manage a lot of smaller grants. And so, on the capital side, if you had equipment and like you could fold in like related installation costs or some other costs maybe related to that equipment. But yeah, if you're having trouble getting up to the $50,000, you might be better fit for the program grant. And equipment is a little tricky because it's allowed in both. And we can talk a little more, I'll just go into it a tiny bit here, but the way we've distinguished equipment on the program side or the capital side is if you're buying equipment that is tied to a facility, like a material recycling facility or a building, and the equipment kind of stays on site and it's for the operations of that facility, it's going to be a capital grant. And if you're buying equipment that is maybe out on the road, like a truck, and tied to programming and within the program grant dollar limit, that's going to be on the program side. And that one, if you have other questions, we have wrestled with this ourselves to try to figure out where that hard line is, so just ask us, you know, specific to your idea, and we'll try to work through that. Yeah, Patrick.
Hi. Patrick. So I worked through writing this with last year's information, and I'm just a novice at writing grants. Are you guys expecting, when I say my system is in every single demographic in the city, so I work with people of color, lower socioeconomic to top tier, it doesn't, everybody uses my system, I know. And I can say that, but to prove it based on demographic data, I can't find that. So my question, I guess, is, are you expecting a lot of citation on a statement like, hey, we work with everybody from the bottom to the top? Or is it something that I could show you based on the fact that I have drop boxes in Gresham, and I have drop boxes in Southwest Portland? I mean, I just want to make sure I'm specific enough to attract your attention.
You're talking about the equity piece.
The equity piece of it specifically, yeah. I just want to prove that, but I don't know how much citation you require.
Demographic citation is one way. If you have demographic information, that's great. But other ways is how you're specifically trying to target communities of color versus just the whole region. Maybe ways that you're engaging partner organizations or at least reaching out to them. I mean, Noelle came out of our diversity, equity, inclusion program. So she's got a special expertise and is going to be really helping kind of coach around these issues. Is there anything you would add?
Yeah, no, I think you hit on it, and again, we'd be happy to talk in more detail, you know, after, but I think, you know, if you don't have information, you can't provide it, so demographics is one way, but not the only way. When you're talking about kind of specific geographic areas where you're serving, I think that's another way to help us get a sense. I would also think about if there are ways within that really broad service, if there are ways to target specific groups, either geographically or demographically.
Or like industry groups, if I could go try and collaborate with industry groups like the Minority Cannabis Business Association.
Right. Partnerships are another great way, again, to just think about who's helping you think about what your program looks like, even at this point in the grant development stage, and who may be partners that you're moving forward with implementation. You know, there's a lot of opportunities there to meet with partners.
That's a really good point. Some of the, I'm thinking back about some of the other proposals where they listed, we have been engaged with the Association of Minority Contractors or the, you know, whatever trade group that specifically targets capacity building for people of color or other underserved communities. So just ways of demonstrating an effort to reach specifically people who have not been reached through benefits of various economic benefits.
Sure. And I'll also add, Suzanne mentioned this in the presentation as well, but thinking about your organization or your business independently of the impacts and outcomes from your project, you know, are you offering professional development training for your staff? Might you be interested if Metro could help make available some opportunities for diversity, equity, inclusion training for your staff? We're really open to thinking about ways that we can support your organization more broadly in your own work to advance equity in your organization.
Yeah, Mandy.
So, I appreciate your question about you were going below the threshold. Mm-hmm. So, on the other side of that, I have kind of a specific scenario for you. So, say you're making a big ask of a capital ask. You're hitting the cap, you like the project, you think it makes sense for the program, but you don't have the money. Are you willing to fund at a lower amount?
We like the grant, but
yes.
We just are out of money,
right.
Or, yeah. That is a possibility. It's something we would do pretty sparing because sort of my experience with grants is like people request what they need, and so severing a grant in that half can really shape the... can really distort sort of the outcomes. However, I could totally see a situation where we're like, well, this actually happened last round where we thought, okay, this project is great, but this piece of it over here does not fit within this program. So we went back to the applicant and said, we'd be interested in seeing a proposal for this amount because this really lines up. Yeah, so that would happen, but it's possible. It's probably not something we're likely to do a lot of. Yeah. But it's possible. Yeah. Anything else? Yeah.
How much did you distribute in your first year, and what was the ratio of turndowns? I mean, how competitive was it?
So we had $3 million last year, and we ended up making $2.5 million in grants, so we didn't actually use up the full allocation. And that was a different process, because for both the program and capital grants, we had a pre-proposal process. And this time, we've taken the pre-proposal process out of this. We have just complete streamlined proposals for the smaller grants. But last year, we received 67 pre-proposals, asking about $14 million for funding. So we only had three, and we had $14 million in requests, and then we narrowed it down to the full proposal stage. And I think the full proposals were like 13, 14, no, I'm sorry, $8 million or so. Does that sound about right for when we got to the full proposal?
Closer to 6 million.
6 million, yeah, that's right. So 6 million, and then at the end, 2.5 million were funded.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it will look pretty different. So we don't have a lot of data on this program because we only have one cycle to go off of, but I think this may look different this year. We're not sure how, but yes.
So what number of proposals were funded?
We had 14 grants.
14.
Yeah.
So if I have a permanent staffer working in my recycling center already, and I'm really just asking you guys for help in the expansion of my program, can my in-kind match be that employee's salary? Can I say in my proposal that, hey, I'm going to pay him, you know, $3,000 a month, and that's part of the 10%?
Not if he's doing existing work he would already be doing.
Okay.
So it would have to be tied to a project. So if your project's expanding...
then I need to match with expanded
match
new
with,
stuff.
Yeah, the new work that staff is doing.
Thank you.
So we had that. I'm trying to think which it might have been, the food bank, right? You had some staffing associated with your new routes.
Yes.
Yeah. But it...
We
so.
Right, it was a
right. So they weren't able to use their existing food bank staff that were already doing the same thing they've been doing.
Okay.
So yeah, that's the distinction. Anything you want to add on that?
Yeah. Can I ask a clarifying question on that? So let's say you had to hire. There was a supervisor who was supervising new project work. Does that kind of staff time come as a kind?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you had to hire new staff to implement
yeah.
your.
So it's a new person. Or a new thing.
Oh,
are
you talking about
an existing supervisor who's now overseeing the
yeah.
work?
Yes, yes. I understand what you're saying now.
So that cost would be available for the in-kind match if I have an existing employee who is currently supervising it, and I'm going to hire a new person to be dedicated to the program, so that new person and the supervisor could technically be part of my
That client? New person could be part of your match or your grant. Like, if you had to hire a staff person...
I'm sorry,
to do
this
the
is
work.
Probably a you and me thing.
No, it's match is really confusing for everyone, but
okay.
No, so if you were hiring staff to do the work, you could pay for it with the grant, or you could pay for it yourself and count it as match.
But it has to be new staff.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be new staff. It needs to be either new staff doing the project work or existing staff that is doing new work, and you're tracking that new work. So it's like additional duties.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think you just answered my question. So I was going to say, if you had existing staff, but because of the new project, there would be a promotion or something like that, where they would be a supervisor now because there would be a new hire. So would their salary, part of their salary, or all of their salary be?
It could qualify. It's with a caveat that it gets a little tricky to try to like allocate. So you have to have a system set up to sort of track how that additional work and value of that work is tied to the project and not being covered by just the existing salary that they would have gotten anyways.
Yeah. Okay.
But for the grant, you know, if the grant didn't exist. So the accounting of that can be tricky, and we'd be totally happy to help you figure out how to set that up.
Okay.
But the important thing is that it's during the grant period, so we can't count staff work happening right now.
Right.
It would be once the contract starts. These grants are up to 18 months long, and it 12 to 18 months, depending on the need of the project. During the grant period, tied specifically to the project, and that there's a way of allocating those costs specific to that person and to the project. It's being carefully accounted.
And because there's no deadline on the program grant, it starts
starts from when it's funded, the 12 to 18 months starts?
Yeah, it starts when a contract is signed, a grant agreement is signed. So, so if, say, you got your project or your proposal in and it was in the first round of review, probably towards the end of August, we'd be making a decision, and then it goes into a contracting period. And that, depending on, the grant agreement is actually available for you to look at, so you could see kind of what's expected if you were to get a grant. This handbook, the grant agreement was too large to include in, where we have it in Zoom Grants, right? Yeah, so it's in the document library in Zoom Grants. It was a bit too cumbersome to put on our website, so we, it's in Zoom Grants in the document library, so if you wanted to get a head start, you could take a look at the grant agreement template, and then the contracting period can take a week if you're ready to go, if your budget's good, and we just sign all the signatures, but more likely it's 3 or 4 weeks between kind of negotiating. Yeah. So probably you're looking at like September at the earliest for a signed grant agreement.
Do you guys have a place where
Yeah, we have we have summaries of our existing grants on the program website, which is that OregonMetro.gov investment and innovation. And so we have sort of like a paragraph on each one and kind of what their match was and what their and whether they were a program grant or a capital grant. The program grants, we had 9 of them last year, and the capital 5. And the 5 includes things like Oregon Food Bank had a combined capital and program grant.
One last question on this discussion of supervisory and existing staff. Did I read that up to 10% of the grant could be for that additional hours of existing supervisory?
The 10% was for overhead for nonprofits. So that's just like your lights and your Although overhead's tricky too, and there's a little footnote in here in the handbook. Eligible overhead costs include expenses incurred by the organization for indirect costs identified and benefit the project. So it could be a lot of things, but it might include accounting, financial resources and systems, management, planning, support resources, space, like rent and equipment. Give us a call or an email if you have questions about overhead, because that's another tricky one. Was that it? I have more questions?
Doesn't sound like there's a...
Yeah. Well, we can break, and like I said, the 5 of us are here for a little bit if you want to talk one-on-one. Thank you so much for coming, and feel free at any point, McCard's back there, feel free to email if you have questions or call.